T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Can you explain what you mean when you're done with it? I mean, we're just trying to find out if he said anything to you about his position and about the allegations.
Yeah, I just answered that question.
Well, actually, you didn't.
Actually, I did.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Pretty short press conference today in Foxborough, Massachusetts, as the Patriots are now investigating. I was thinking about this as we welcome in Danny Parkins and Dan McNeil, who will be taking the rest of the way until 6 o'clock. I feel as if the NFL and NFL teams should stop saying that they're investigating stuff. One, because they're ineffective in it. And two, they have no subpoena power. So maybe we're aware of it. Maybe the statement is we're aware of it and we're going to let due process and the legal process play out. But the idea that you're going to investigate it when your investigations for the most part have no teeth, it rings a little hollow to me.
Yeah, it all rings hollow. Like all of NFL judge, jury, and executioner justice rings hollow, right? Because the league nor the teams have, like you said, subpoena power, but also there's no consistency. There's no real, they say they have a domestic violence policy that has a minimum, but then that minimum is often not applied. They say they have a policy for personal conduct, commissioner's exempt list, all sorts of things that sometimes are used, sometimes aren't. Video seems to be a huge part of it. In this case, it sounds like Antonio Brown's going to play because this was a civil charge as opposed to a criminal charge.
But now I guess the DA in Pittsburgh, where one of the three alleged assaults happened, is looking into whether or not he's going to file criminal charges on this.
Yeah, like the truth is that the legal system doesn't do a great job with this stuff. So I find it to be an unreasonable standard to assume that the NFL is going to do a good job with it, right? They can't legislate what is and is not a catch, what should and should not be reviewed, all sorts of things like that. How am I expecting them to do any sort of due process when it comes to sexual assault? I just don't think it's reasonable.
I don't either, but I wish they would stop acting as if
But that's PR, right?
For sure. And their shield of the shield is, oh, well, we're totally doing an investigation on it. Your investigation means nothing. I mean, really, like, there's no teeth to your investigation, and you are definitely not, you have a stake in how the investigation goes, especially after spending the capital to bring Antonio Brown to your team. But it's just weird whenever I see because the statement is boilerplate from any team. It's always kind of the same thing. And it just, like, every time I see it, I roll my eyes because I know that they're not capable of doing this to a standard that is sufficient for me to believe that they are doing an investigation. If that makes any sense.
Sure. And they have a bias towards allowing a star player to play. So how hard are they really looking? Right? If TMZ can uncover video of Kareem Hunt, why couldn't the Chiefs? Probably because the Chiefs didn't want to. Like how hard were they really trying? And then the league has done the teams a tremendous favor by saying, no, it's on us. And so then the teams are like, whoa.
No, we kick it to the league.
It's in the league's hands.
The league's got the investigation.
And so that's why they, like, I'm not at all surprised that Antonio Brown is practicing today for the Patriots.
No, neither am I.
Like, if you sign him and he's awesome and he's been charged in a civil case and it's, you don't have the power. I mean, you could outright cut him, I suppose, but that would take
there's some from what I saw, I think it was Mike Reese who put it out there, that there is some language and that would make it very easy for the Patriots to cut Antonio.
Yeah, but
Brown.
They don't want
so. So neither of you are surprised he's working out today, but are you bothered by it? Are either of you bothered by the fact that the Patriots are just going about this business as usual?
It's tough for me on when there is, how do you put this, like, politely? It's tough for me when there is a civil charge and a civil charge only, because the standard for that happening is obviously so much lower that I think it would be a dangerous precedent to set to say, anytime a civil charge happens, you're immediately not allowed to do your job. I don't think any of us in any job would want that standard to exist for you to not be able to get paid or play.
But usually, and I would have to look up the statistics to be 100% sure about this, that's where victims of assault get a modicum of justice.
Of course.
Versus what happens in the legal system.
Absolutely. But what we were just talking about, right? I do think it's reasonable for us to say that, since we all agree the NFL is not equipped to investigate this, right? Right? We're all in agreement on that? And so they're certainly less equipped to investigate it than the judicial system. I do think it's a reasonable stance to say, we will punish you for that after the legal system runs its course. I think I find that to be reasonable.
Once there's due process of law, then we can then better adjudicate your standing in our league.
And that doesn't mean at all that you don't think less of Antonio Brown. Like, you see those emails or text messages come out.
They're horrendous.
Is there anybody
true.
Who doubts that? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I totally have to be in line with all of the things that he's been about for the last, 2 years now? Makes sense that he would write something like that.
Yeah, so that absolutely, like, personally, I am not at all held to the standard of a civil court or a criminal court or anything like that. So do I think less of Antonio Brown? Of course. Are those emails nauseating? Of course. But when you get to he's countersuing for extortion and neither criminal charges have even happened and civil charge breaks last night, then automatically he loses income and work. I don't know that that's a standard that anybody should really be comfortable with.
Let me ask you a happier question, Danny Parkin.
Sorry I was late, by the way, guys. That 1:45 p.m. start time will break a man's back every now and again, you know?
It's okay. We were having a good conversation about the NFL.
Kangaroo Court. I should have to bring in donuts or something next time.
I mean, if you want to bring in donuts from Munster, I'd totally be fine with that.
Chocolate cake for Lawrence, I know.
I actually haven't had a good donut in a minute, so I'd be down for that. Danny, I was asking the listener a little earlier, how would you describe watching this Cubs season?
It depends when. Like, right now, they're top screen, no volume. I'm just following it until there are big moments. Like, honestly, I am in wake me when the wild card game gets here mode. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. They haven't been likable enough or consistent enough for me to feel a bunch of hurt. Like, last year's team was so disappointing because they still won 95 games, and so they had multiple stretches of dominance.
Right, this was one stretch.
Yeah, this was,
and it was a long time ago now.
It was early.
Yep.
It was one dominant stretch early, and like, this team just feels like a group of underachievers that simultaneously got bad luck, right? A lot of injuries happening at the wrong time, stacking, a lot of guys at positions where they were supposed to have redundancies and backups, all of those guys underperforming. So it's not their year.
If you're asking for adjectives, let me throw a few at you. Unsatisfying, vexing, frustrating. Spiegels is unrewarding. He said that a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's still applicable. Those are some of my favorites, but I wish they weren't my favorites. I was hoping for other things to be discussing on this date.
At this point, now that we have, 144 games of sample of them, basically an entire season, would it, knowing what you guys know, would it then be satisfying if they were to make the wild card? In adjusted expectation, would it be satisfying
very
for them
modestly,
to be a wild card
Very
team?
Modestly, because I have no hope of them getting through that. And even if they did, I certainly don't think they have any chance against the Los Angeles Dodgers if that's round two or if they would see them in the NLCS. There's no way they should line up against that team in farewell. That's a sweep or a five-game series, likely.
Gentlemen, sweep.
Yeah, the I feel about that is I will cherish every Cubs playoff games are still awesome. You know, I if they are in the wild card game, I will be there. You know, if they send the show, I'll be at the game. If not, I will be locked and ready to go. Nothing would get me away from the television. Like that would be a huge sporting event because I do believe that it's possible in baseball to catch lightning in a bottle.
Agreed.
When a 162-game season comes down to a best of one or a best of five. So, yeah, it's possible. I mean, you're telling me it's impossible that Darvish and Hendricks could throw gems against the Dodgers and you steal a game or a ball bounces off a base or you get
puck
a fluky
luck,
call.
Yeah.
Puck luck, that's absolutely possible.
That's how they'd win one.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, have to.
But that's
looking at the way that they're built up. But it's baseball, and it can be so random in the postseason. It's why I don't completely discount it. I think that the Dodgers are much better than them. I think Atlanta is much better than them. But I think the Cardinals are much better than them right now, which is
sure
strange.
They are.
But I don't discount the fact of a reset. And, oh, well, you know what? I actually feel okay today.
We're getting really late on the calendar for that.
There's no doubt.
The White Sox did. Now, there was a different set of circumstances, but they did hit a reset button late in 05 and win a World Series. However, the previous 4.5, 5 months weren't marked with frustration.
Correct.
And all of the other things. There was only one stretch, and it didn't last for real long, where you had very little optimism about their postseason chances.
And then in the postseason, they did another. Like, let's have all these dominant pitching performances. They're just like, what?
I'll give you guys 2014. I covered those playoffs really closely. It was the first time that the Royals were in the playoffs. They ended up winning in 2015. The wild card game that they won was when John Lester was on the A's. And Yordano Ventura came out of the bullpen and blew it, and they had to rally back from down 4 runs late and won the game 9-8. Probably the single craziest baseball game that I've ever attended, and I've seen all of these crazy Cubs ones. That one probably is still the craziest. They're an 80-something win team and take that crazy game, winning a playoff game at home, and then sweep the next series on the road and then sweep the ALCS and all of a sudden are in the World Series because they came back and won a playoff game. End up losing in 7 to a wild card San Francisco Giants team, which is the only wild card team that's won the World Series since the 2 wild card games got put in place. How did the Giants do it? Madison Bumgarner went Bob Gibson. So do I think that's going to happen to the Cubs?
No.
No.
But you know what? Last night would have felt like one of those turning points. You know, where
the way they rallied to come back, sure.
It would have felt
sure
like
it.
I don't know if it would have been it, but it would have felt like,
yep.
Oh, okay, well then they took Ben Zobrist just continuing to throw the ball into left field and then rallied. And the guy that everyone wants to be clutch,
that's right,
was clutch.
That's right.
The other guy that everyone wants to be clutch was clutch. And then,
Yeah, you're right. But a regular season game, we're always looking for that turning point. Like, this is when they're going to go on the run. This is when they're going to flip the switch. And I don't know that happens in the regular season in baseball.
Danny, it does happen. I've seen it happen in 89. I'll make this quick. I was supposed to be going to the Hallis Hall. 1989, it's in mid-September. The host for whom I was producing says, I want you to go to Lake Forest, but stop at Wrigley, get some sound, book a guest. The Cubs are rallying from an 8-run deficit against the Astros and beat them. And he says, stay there. It looks like they're going to come back and make a game of this. And I was the first guy into the clubhouse, and Grace was pounding his fist on the wall saying, this is our effing year. That was the only time I've ever seen a regular season game mark sort of that line of demarcation where a team came together, and granted, they didn't succeed long-term, but they did wind up winning the division, and that turnaround game kind of similar to the way last night's thing would have shaken out had they finished the ball game.
I'm just, you're okay. There are clearly exceptions to every rule, but what I'm saying is in the postseason, yeah. There's something about, okay.
Riding the mo.
Yeah, like, okay, we're not, hasn't been a good year.
But we still have a chance.
But we're here, we still have a chance. And baseball teams, what do they do whenever they win a series, no matter how small?
They celebrate.
Champagne celebration. They do the beer. They go crazy. Even after wild card wins, because it's technically winning a playoff round. So you're telling me it's impossible that they go to D.C., they play the nobody believes in us card, they somehow beat Scherzer, they do the champagne celebration, and then they're like, all right, this thing's not going to get easy. 5.5-hour flight across the country to L.A. Nobody believes in us.
Who's next?
Yeah, and then they do something. Javi comes back. Javi hits a home run in game one. Uh-oh, now they got the Dodgers against them. How am I going to handle it? I'll be talking myself into that when they're getting ready to play Max Scherzer. Will it be realistic? Will it be likely? Hell no. There'll be like a 5% chance to win it or something like that.
We got some football to talk about today, too, with the news. The handcuffs that have been put on Mount Carmel quarterback Mitch Trubisky up in Lake Forest.
Yeah, we are.
He got him as Mount Carmel quarterback.
Those are the kind of rules you get at the high school level. Coach Wren ever say that to you? If a guy from the Southside paper, the Daily Show, whoever
Southtown
covered you guys, Lawrence, Coach Wren would say, don't tell him anything about the opponents, all right? Don't say anything about, and now we're getting those rules laid down to Mitch Trubisky, although we're not sure if it comes from the coaching staff. I'm sure hoping it didn't, and I'm sure hoping the guys on that staff do something about it, because that is not how professional quarterbacks should be treated. That is unacceptable,
not
man.
Third year, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
I can't talk about last week's game.
It makes no sense.
Whoa.
We are going to get into it. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, Radio.com Sports Station. We're off completely tomorrow and then only have one segment on Friday.
So what's the deal? You guys want me to do that
so
segment?
I'll bring you donuts on Monday. No, Franchise will be here for 18 minutes.
All right,
Friday.
No problem. You know?
I guess so.
Perish the thought the audience go a couple of weekdays without hearing what the man's got in his mind,
I mean, it is
right?
Friday before Bears game. I get that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You want to get your thoughts out here. All right, well, good. It's less work for me on
Friday. He's
going
to run the board. He's going to do all of his opens. He's going to print all the copy out. He's going to do a one-man show for 18 minutes.
I know you guys want me to feel bad for you guys having to work. No, I'm not talking about you, Lawrence. I'm talking about Tanny and Mac. But I don't. So, yeah, we're going to do a lot of football today. We've got Charch at 4, Chad Millman at 2:30. We have
Rich Campbell from the Tribs jumping on. He was part of the media throng today that consumed all of that stuff, and a follow-up question would have been wonderful.
And Dan Plesak after Rich Campbell, too.
19's so jumping on.
We're busy.
Enjoy yourselves, boys. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you
soon. I'll see you Friday. I'll see
I'll bring
maybe
you chocolate
on
donuts
it's
on Monday.
I'll see you maybe on Monday.
Setback sweetener after Team Vic beats up on the Bears.
Oh, don't say it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.